towards a meaningful finish. Which really led us right to a cot solution. We didn't have time to cut counters and put stickers on things and draw up maps and all that sort of thing. For a cot solution, the hard design yards have been done. You know, that work is there for you to use and abuse. And of course, as a couple of hobby gamers ourselves, we pushed it around on the table between us, and between two of us, we'd play two, playing both two sides at once. We'd got the bots out and tried those, and actually we wanted to see what it was like in all its glory with four players. But to run a successful event, we had to convince a few people. First of all, we had to convince our boss, or we felt we had to convince our boss. So to do that, we turned up, we designed some trading objectives, and you can read them all on the screen there. This was our pitch to the chain of command to support what we were trying to do. I was trying to take at least a dozen officers of his, field officers, away from what they were supposed to do on a day-to-day basis for 1.5, possibly 2 days. So I needed his buy-in to do that. What we didn't realise that when we made the pitch to Colonel Peter Monteith, as it is, that he then proudly said to us that he'd been the officer's mess risk champion on a 3-day risk marathon during a tour quiet period in Northern Ireland. So that seemed to ease the way a little bit. But also he was curious. He wanted to see what it was about. He wanted to see what we were doing. He was also really interested to see his officers in an environment different to their 9-to-5 situation, where we saw them every day. Put them out of their comfort zone, let's see something different. We also felt we had to convince the players. To get their buy-in, we had so much more to gain, they had more to gain, and that's what we really wanted to do, and I think we've called it immersion earlier this morning. They didn't have any idea what to expect at all. We'd called it Exercise Distant Plane, but none of them had a clue what was coming. And this was our pitch to the training audience. We wanted to ensure that they understood that this game had a pedigree, it had a background. And of course the designer's background was very useful for that. We wanted to make sure they understood that it was going to be complex. This is going to be hard. Don't be frightened by it. You know, think risk on steroids was the expression we used to them. You're going to have to negotiate. You're going to have to make decisions. And you're going to have to react to a constantly changing situation. You know, that's the position we're going to put you in. So don't be frightened of it. It's all being done intentionally. And the quote at the bottom was actually Rand's quote while we were trying to work out through our way through the game itself. And that actually summed up the situation to us. For the players in their positions, they were going to find it extremely difficult to know what to do and how to do it. But we decided we didn't want to throw them absolutely into the deep end, put the game on the table and say, there you go, get on with it. So we led them up to the experience. We ran a preparation period, and how we did it was on there. We gave them a very brief introduction, no more than 20 minutes, and then we sat through a 2-hour guided mentor session. So they sat at the table, they played a faction, and we walked and talked them through what was going on. We then made them recock. So we stop, right, you've had enough, you know what's going on, right, now set up the game, do it yourself. So they then have to look it all up, they then play with the pieces, they then get to know the map and the feel of the area better. We then, to give a bit of a surprise factor, we then drew their factions. So then, right, now you are, when you come back tomorrow, you're going to be the Taliban commander, you're going to be the coalition force commander. And that gave them something to, now they have their role properly. We then gave them an opportunity to do some work. So we gave them the rules, we gave them the playbook, we gave them some advice about what they should read, and actually we steered them to the playbook. There's some top tips there, there's some golden nuggets. Don't, if you've got any time at all, don't bother with the rules, look at what's in the playbook. And then it was very interesting to see that the following morning, a number of them have come in, done the minimum, but a number have come in with strategy and plans that they prepared that night. So straight away we knew we were getting the right sort of buy-in to what was coming up. So we're now moving on to playing the game. And it was interesting to hear comments pretty much straight away coming from the players on the ground. And we started to capture these little comments as they come. We could tell that our players were immersed into their scenario. And I'll now hand over to Ram to cover in a little more detail how we assessed the exercise.
Neil, thank you. Just drawing straight from the comments that we got there, there's two that jumped out to us. In terms of the experience and the kind of people that we were running this war game for, right at the top, someone that fought out in Helmand as a platoon commander, suddenly the big picture became apparent, just a very small part of one piece on the board. We included civil servants, most of our workforce are MOD civil servants, and we included four of them. And at the bottom, we forget sometimes about the buy-in. That's an individual that was writing the posting orders for people to go out there, and they felt a connection with the game straight away. In terms of assessment, just briefly on exercise delivery, we planned for 12. Each game has got four players, so we're going to run three games. We could only get 10 people on the day, and we had this decision to make. Do we use the bots, or do we double up? And we went for doubling up, so two games, five players each, and we had people doubling up as either the government player or the warlord player. That added extra time, because those people had to debate as a team as to what they were going to do, but we found that really, really quite useful. Adding that extra requirement for teamwork added an extra dimension, and the point being, you could play this game quite easily with more than four people. You could even have eight people. The bots, the reason we didn't use the bots down there is that when we sort of used them in the preparation phase, we found them more difficult to understand. And as mentors or facilitators running the game, if we couldn't understand them, it was going to be more difficult to run a game with those. The bulk of our assessment, though, was done after action review and a quick online survey for individuals. Really short, only 12 questions, and that's what I'm going to cover in a little bit more detail, the responses from the individuals. So our validation, very much the remarks from the players. The questions, the two key questions really focused in on the improvement or the understanding, the whole piece about knowledge. First one there, how successful the experience was in giving a better understanding of the conflict in Afghanistan. It's a very simple question. We got day jobs. This isn't people's day jobs. We wanted them to fill them in by making it easy. So score 1 to 5, 1 being you didn't think it was very good, 5 that you thought it was good. Average score there, over 4. We were pleased with that. And we also gave them the opportunity to provide specific comments about this question. And one point to bring out, that first quote, an individual there served out there, hadn't worked with the ANP, once again broadening the horizon out there, having to look at it through the government perspective, found really, really useful. Second quote in there, that idea of the terrain, bringing out the point that for that individual, that military officer, perhaps far, far too focused on Helmand, and stepping back, thinking there was a much, much bigger picture that I was involved in there. The second key question was their understanding, improving their understanding of counterinsurgency warfare. Now this scored just under 4, one of the lower scores, so it was still above the average. And a couple of the quotes to draw out there, positive ones, complexities, drawing it out there in a time efficient and engaging manner. We thought that was pretty key. One in here from an individual in the middle there. Yeah, useful to get a better understanding, but that individual thought this was not a substitute for studying COIN doctrine itself. So yes, it's positives, but hey, it's got to work with other things. Moving on in terms of the analysis, the skills development piece, which this partly links into what Aggie was talking about earlier, looking at measuring the how-to, not just the what there. We wanted to ask about the risk-taking. That was part of our objectives there. Above 4, and people did feel it was that sort of safe-to-fail environment, trying different things, trying to recover from it. And the two other ones mentioned there, the effective decision-making and the collaborating and partnering. Those of you that are MOD civil servants will recognise those are two MOD civil service core competencies. Because we had an audience from there, we wanted to ensure it was touching on those, and they did. They felt that it gave them an opportunity to meet those core competencies. And of course, that helps with the justification when you've got a civil service chain of command, if I phrase it that way. What's the point of my people doing this when they're not doing their day job? Then we've got the link in, the route in there, that they're getting something out of it in the core competencies. The experience, these are the ones we scored highest on, which we're really pleased on, all 4.67 in there. How successful is the exercise, educational training experience, so they really felt that the time wasn't wasted in there. We asked them about mentoring, which people have talked about facilitation here, and quite frankly, it couldn't have been run by just throwing the game at them. They all came back and said, yeah, we needed to get that help. And then perhaps the most important one we felt for individuals was that how enjoyable was the experience. And as Neil articulated at the beginning, we had some military officers slightly nervous that they were going to do an exercise that they knew nothing about, that their second level reporting officer, was going to be coming to watch them. Wasn't this something I'm going to fail at and be put under pressure? Well, at the end they said, actually no, I didn't feel that, I enjoyed this. And remember, our audience was people that are not exposed to war games. It's trying to generate the culture that these are useful tools. These are just a selection of some of the final comments that people made. So they had an opportunity to comment about anything at the end. And a couple just to pull out. That second one down there, civil servant, hard to find team building exercises that appeal to both military and civilian staff while remaining cost effective and have a learning and development element there. So we thought that was really, really quite useful. And also just this third one down there, excellent, this is a military officer. While the scenario of Afghanistan was contemporary and familiar, the lessons and development opportunities transcend this. And that's an individual that said that I'd really like to try a different type of war game period just to get this learning development piece. So just to draw our conclusions, without a shadow of a doubt, we felt that a COTS war game works for our purpose of professional development of a mixed military civilian workforce. The hard design work was done. We didn't have to worry about that. Yes, we had to prepare. We had to sit down and get into the detail of the rules so that you could mentor and cost effective. Supportive chain of command, essential. We were perhaps slightly lucky. I underscore the point that you probably all know there. Wargaming is still very far from mainstream within certainly the British Army. But that Wargaming handbook, and we did run this exercise twice, the second time pulling out Vice Chief of Defence Staff forward and saying to senior officers, we are being told to do this, was really, really, really useful when you're trying to convince people. Mentoring was key, and a key point there, you must have experienced war gamers, you must have people that buy into it. And we want to build on this foundation, so the intent is to take this forward. We think we've got a willing enough audience, we think we've got enough evidence for chain of command buy-in, and then we're toying with ideas at the left of our next war Poland, got a relevance there, really focused on the military folk. A different option is the Churchill war game, GMT produced, three people debating issues to try and win the Second World War. And then the last part there is one of the reasons we're here, is there something we can pick up from here at Connections UK, something that we could take forward, a game that's been suggested here, and we are still open to other suggestions to carry forward. That's us, and that's just some final quotes, because it is, for us, it was all about the player experience. That's really what we were honing in on. And obviously we can catch questions later. Okay, thank you.